Who are empty-handed, even though having run and searched throughout the three worlds? The weakened living beings tossed in samsara since beginningless time. Who are empty-handed, even though having run and searched throughout the three worlds, the weakened living beings tossed in samsara since beginningless time. This is talking about us. Okay. So, we're empty-handed in the sense that when we go from one life to the next, what is it that we take with us? You know, only our karma. In terms of virtue, sentient beings have some virtue, but compared to what we could have, we're still empty-handed and impoverished in that kind of way. And despite being empty-handed and impoverished, we've run and searched throughout the three worlds, meaning the three realms of samsara. We've run and searched for happiness, gone everywhere, done everything, up, down, and across in samsara. And yet, even though we've been born so many times, done so many things, we are still empty-handed. Yeah, because what we've spent our time running and searching for, material possessions, popularity, love, appreciation, fame, status, acknowledgement, all those kinds of things, we've had to leave behind. Those things don't come with us into the next life. Yeah. Yet those are the things that we've run and searched for by and large. Now, what comes with us is our karma, yeah, which we haven't taken care of while we're alive. Yet, in terms of virtuous karma, you know, we're really empty-handed, so to speak. You know, yeah. Okay, and when we think of sentient beings, by and large, you know, born in all sorts of realms, you know. Most of them not even hearing the word Buddha or Dharma or Sangha, you know, really, really empty-handed is the state of most sentient beings. Okay, so why is that? Okay, well, we're weakened living beings tossed in samsara since beginningless time. Okay, so we've just been propelled by ignorance, propelled by our afflictions, and through them creating karma, and therefore tossed in samsara since beginningless time, getting reborn here, getting reborn there, up, down, been everything, done everything, you know, and we're weakened in the sense that we're continuously reinforcing the ignorance on our mind stream. You know, most sentient beings continuously reinforcing ignorance, anger, and attachment by generating them again and again and again. Yeah, the thoughts that question our perception and our grasping of inherent existence are very rare. And so because of that, we're weakened. So this is a cause when we understand that. Referring to ourself, it's a cause for alarm, you know, and to see we have a precious human life, so we should really use it to do something beneficial and not leave this life empty-handed, you know, just leaving behind us a stash of money and possessions and a bunch of newspaper articles and magazine articles about how great we are, you know. Or progeny, or whatever, you know, you feel you need to leave behind. But, you know, really making our life meaningful and creating some virtue and planting the seeds of the Dharma realizations in our mind by studying and reflecting and meditating on the teachings. So for us, you know, to really push ourselves forward with a determination to be free of cyclic existence and, you know, some renunciation of our old habitual way of being in samsara. Also, when we look at this verse and we think of other sentient beings being in this situation, then that becomes a cause for compassion. Okay? And so having, you know, compassion for sentient beings who are very, very lost and confused in samsara. And therefore, when they do, you know, things that we consider rude or obnoxious or unthinkable, understanding why they do them, you know, it's due to their ignorance, anger, and attachment. And therefore, to have compassion and not judgment for them. And not only to have compassion for their misguided deeds, but just have compassion for their state of being in samsara in general. Okay? But again, this has to be accompanied by the sense that we're in samsara too, and we want to be free. Otherwise, it becomes like, well, I'm just a very nice, complacent Dharma practitioner with a lot of virtue, looking down on all these sentient beings who are so screwed up. And that is not a Dharma attitude. Yeah. So having compassion for others means we have to see ourselves, you know, in this case, as being in the same boat with them. Yeah. This kind of teaching is very sobering, isn't it? Yeah. Because sometimes we get a little bit excited, oh, this is going well, that's going well, you know. And then this kind of teaching, it's like, okay, let's come back. What is the most important thing in my life? Yeah, it isn't worldly success. It's, you know, freeing my mind and helping others to free theirs.